Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As you turn there, I remind you that we do believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant and infallible. It is our only rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God shall stand forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not hear what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, we thank you for the precious truth of your word, life-giving truth, sanctifying truth. Lord, we pray this morning that your truth would draw your people closer to yourself and make us more holy as Christ is holy. And we pray this in his name and to his eternal glory. Amen. This is part two of a series that we began last Sunday, looking at the nobility of work. And we spent some amount of time last week laying some groundwork on a biblical view of work, that work is good according to the scriptures, and that is in contrast to what some apparently at the Church of Thessalonica believed about work, and that's in contrast to a very popular, skewed work, that view of work that exists in our culture today, and certainly exists in every culture to some degree or another. Our culture, to a large degree, very proudly disdains work. So this relates to us this morning. And we looked last week at the view of work that leads to disdain and despair and futility. The writer of Ecclesiastes, remember, the preacher looks at the world and he makes observations about the pleasures of the world, the wisdom of the world. Work. And he makes the correct observation that when you look at the work of your hands, it's very easy to get discouraged from a human perspective. If you view it apart from God, if you view it apart from the way the scriptures view work, it's very easy to get discouraged. It's hard. The writer of Ecclesiastes points out repeatedly. It's futile. It's frustrating. You spend so many hours working and working and working, and in the end, what do you have to show for it? It does not last. It does not extend beyond the grave. The writer of Ecclesiastes says it all will disappear. It will all be forgotten. It belongs to this world only. It will not last into eternity. Someone else will come along and pick up where you left off. And it, from a human perspective, it's almost as if you had never been here. So sure, when you view work that way, it's easy to be discouraged about it. Why bother? That's the question the writer of Ecclesiastes raises. Or if you take a purely utilitarian view of work, that work is only for the purpose of paying the bills or keeping up with the neighbors or amassing some wealth for retirement or making a name for yourself. If that's the primary motivation for working, a human motivation, you will become just as discouraged as the writer of Ecclesiastes when he viewed work from a human perspective. But that's not how we are to view work, we who follow after Christ. We don't accept this view that work is just purely for utilitarian purposes. We have a very different view, and the writer of Ecclesiastes brought that out as well. There's no such thing as a secular job for a Christian. No such thing as a secular job for a Christian. That's the theme, that's the takeaway of this series that I want you to remember. That's a wonderful truth that the Reformers recaptured at the time of the Reformation. This idea that you can do spiritual work and service for the Lord wherever He's called you to serve. It's not just the priests and the missionaries who are doing God's work. It's the trash collectors. It's the lawyers. It's the accountants. It's the contractors. It's the number crunchers. It's the volunteers. It's the stay-at-home moms. We're all doing the Lord's work if we follow after Christ. There's no such thing as a secular job. So work takes on a much more meaningful significance than just purely something that's utilitarian. Work is a spiritual duty. And when we look at it that way, from God's perspective, work can be elevated above something that's just mundane, something that's just for the sake of paying bills. Work being done for the Lord Himself becomes a virtue. It becomes noble. It becomes a means for serving as Christ has called us to serve. We explored those two views a good bit last Sunday. But just to flesh this out some more, I want to consider some of the ways that work is a blessing. When you look at the scriptures, there are at least five ways that God has provided work as a blessing for His people. Let's consider some of these just briefly. First of all, work is a God-ordained means to glorifying God. I'm going to skip around a little bit, so have your Bibles ready. Let's look at Ephesians. If you flip back just a few books to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Work is a God-ordained means to glorifying God. Ephesians chapter 6. We want to see how God has given us work as a gift, as a means to glorify Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, Paul says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters." Now, you can fill in for slaves, employees, or students, or stay-at-home moms, or volunteers, or wherever the Lord has called you to serve at this particular stage in life. Fill that in the blank and look at how this is a way to glorify God. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." Very clearly, work as a way to glorify God. It means when you go to class tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, when you get up with the children tomorrow, when you go to volunteer tomorrow, when you go out and cut the grass tomorrow, whatever you're called to do this week, outside of this hour of worship, do it not as if you're doing it for man, not as if you're doing it to please people. That's a very human-centered view of work. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it to please myself, to please others, to build a legacy, to build a retirement, to build wealth, et cetera, et cetera. Go to work with the understanding that you are working for Jesus Christ to bring glory for Him. I'm going to take out the trash tomorrow, and I'm going to do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, use that moment, use that time. Think in your mind, this is dedicated to Christ and to His glory, and I'm going to do it as such. It changes your whole view of work. It should. In Colossians, two books forward, Colossians chapter 3, very similar passage. Paul has a lot to say about work. Colossians 3:22, slaves, again, fill in the blank. What are you called to do wherever you work? Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. See, it's a totally different motivation. Whatever you do, work heartily. It means do it well. Put yourself to it. As for the Lord and not for men. You're working for God. You're not working for men, ultimately. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. When you go to work, wherever God has called you, you are serving the Lord Christ. So do it well. And work heartily at it. Work is a God-ordained means to glorify God. People often ask, you know, Pastor, where can I serve? How can I serve the Lord? Go to work. Go to work and serve the Lord. That's what we're called to do, right? We come to church, we gather, we sit under the teaching of the Word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are sanctified, we're made more holy, we're made more obedient. Then we go out and we put feet to the gospel and we work as we are working for the Lord. Work, secondly, is a God-ordained means to joy. It's a God-ordained means to joy. If you turn back with me to Ecclesiastes, we looked at some of these verses last week. Work is a God-ordained means to glorify God, and it's a God-ordained means to joy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, the preacher says, "There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God." Now, you read this and you may think, now wait a minute. Earlier the preacher said, if you look at the world and you eat and you drink and you find enjoyment, you just get frustrated because these things don't last, and food and drink is not eternal, and the joy of this world is not eternal. And that's true. If your primary motivation for working is food and drink and fun, then you will be disappointed. It will lead to futility. But the difference is, the preacher is saying, it's good to enjoy food and drink and the fruit of your labors when it's recognized that it comes from the hand of God and it's received with a thankful spirit and to His glory, and with the understanding that I know these things are not going to last forever and this is not my source of ultimate joy. There's two totally different perspectives. One's a very human perspective that seeks as an ultimate end comfort in this world. And that's always going to disappoint. But the other is a godly perspective that says, yes, in balance, I can enjoy the fruit of my hands. I can enjoy the fruit of my labor. I can work hard and I can enjoy the fruit that comes from that. But I understand it's not eternal. I understand I really didn't produce it. I understand this really comes from the hand of God, and I give thanks to Him and I enjoy it to His glory. It's a source of joy only by His blessing. Chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. He points this same truth. Verse 13, verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do the good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift to man. God's gift to man. Work is God's gift to man, that we may work and enjoy the fruit of our toil. So it's a means to joy, as opposed to saying, this is my gift to me, which is a very human way to view work. You'd be disappointed every time if that's your view of work. This is my gift to me. No, this is God's gift. And he gives you work as an opportunity to find joy in the fruit of what you produce. Chapter 5, verse 19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. Rejoice in your work. Rejoice in your work, whatever you do, because God has given that to you as a means to enjoy the fruit that comes of it. I knew a lady once who worked for a boss who was horrid. He mistreated his employees. He spoke to them poorly. He made decisions the employees did not agree with. And of course, most of the employees complained, murmured all the time. But I knew this lady, and she never said a bad thing about her horrid boss. And she would always say, he signs the checks. He signs the checks. By God's grace, this is a means that God has given me to work and receive fruit. It's a means of joy. Work is a means to glorify God. Work is a means to joy. Thirdly, work is a means that God has given his people for provision. For provision. Now let's turn back to Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Timothy. It's right after 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Then we'll look at Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Work is a God-ordained means to provision. Paul says to Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. Very clear. God has given Christians the gift of work so that you may provide for yourself and for your household. That's a noble thing. That's a virtuous thing. That's a godly thing. Men really like that, right? I'm going to go provide for my family. That's good. That's what God gives you work to do, to go do it and provide for your family. And in fact, he says, if you don't use it for that, you're in sin. If you don't use this provision of work that I give to you to provide for your family, you're in sin. Worse than an unbeliever. That is strong language. And then you look back at 1 Thessalonians. We looked at this passage some time ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, on verse 11, Paul says, do this, aspire to live quietly, mind your own business, and work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders, and another reason, so that you will be dependent upon no one. Very clear. Paul says God gives you work as a God-ordained means for providing. Go provide so that you're not dependent upon others. This is a gift that God has given you. And then in our passage this morning, in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Again, work is a God-ordained means to provide for yourself and for your family. Verse 10, even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Okay, so if work is a gift from God, then it's a God-ordained means to obtaining provision, food, drink, clothing, necessities, then the natural logical corollary to that is if you don't work, then you don't eat and get food and clothing and lodging and necessities. And to see the connection. This is a gift from God. And in fact, this is a command. This isn't just a proverbial observation. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's true. That's generally the way things go. But Paul is saying very clearly, I command you. If someone is not willing to work and work is available and they're able and they just don't want to do it because they disdain work, they're lazy, etc., then don't give them food. This is God's means, and God's ways are good. He gives us to his people as a means for providing. So work is a God-ordained means to glorify God. It's a God-ordained means to find joy by his grace. It's a God-ordained means to provide. Proverbs 21:20 says, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling. The wise man will go out and work and earn, and he will build a storehouse to provide for himself and for his family. Fourthly, work is a God-ordained means to holiness. It's a God-ordained means to holiness. God gives us work that we may be sanctified, that we may become more like Jesus Christ. Just two quick passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How does work serve as a way to holiness? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. We just looked at this passage, but let's look at it again. Paul says, aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands so that you may live properly before outsiders. In other words, work is directly related to proper living. Work is directly related to minding your own business. The idle hands are the devil's playground, as the saying goes. That's very true biblically. And Paul is saying here, if you're working, then the things that naturally go along with working are living a quiet life, a peaceful life, and a life that's marked by minding your own affairs, tending to your own business, not sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. And he very clearly says this in the passage we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, he says, we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. You see the relationship there. He's saying God has given you work to keep you out of trouble. God has given you work as a God-ordained means to keep you from sticking your nose where it really does not belong. If you're working, you don't have a lot of time to get into trouble. And so Paul says, if you're not busy at work, what are you going to do? If you're not busy at work, you are going to be a busybody, trying to do other people's work for them. So work is a way to avoid trouble. It's a God-ordained means to holiness. Work's a God-ordained means to glorify God. It's a God-ordained means to joy. It's a God-ordained means to provision. It's a God-ordained means to holiness. And finally, work is a God-ordained means to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your work, whatever you do tomorrow, wherever God has called you to serve tomorrow, it is a means that he has given to you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me show you how this works. Back in 1 Thessalonians, same passage, verse 11 and verse 12. Aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands, so that you may live properly before outsiders. So that your testimony, so that your witness, so that your example is proper and glorifying to God when others see you at work. That's your testimony. That's your Christian testimony. We want to be known by outsiders. We want to be known by unbelievers as those who mind their own business, live quietly, and work hard. Because people see that, and they see godliness. People see that, and they see a Christian testimony. People see that, and they see a life that's being lived, as Paul says, properly. It's your Christian testimony. It's your Christian witness. Flip forward to 1 Timothy, a couple books forward. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. God gives us work as an ordained means to witness to Him. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let all who are under a yoke as slaves regard their own masters, employers, as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. See the reason he gives here. To work hard, to honor our employers, is so that the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, the teaching of Holy Scripture may not be reviled. That's a great, great testimony. Someone who works hard and does well what God has called them to do. In fact, I would say work is the primary place where we display the Christian characteristic of love. Work, wherever you're called to serve, is where you spend most of your time. So naturally, you have the most opportunities to do good, to make your little piece of creation better, to make your little piece of creation more pleasant, to make your little piece of creation more peaceful, to make your little piece of creation more godly. It's your place to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whatever you do, you can work day by day, whether you're picking up trash, crunching numbers, volunteering at the hospital, raising children, building something, teaching something, counseling someone. Whatever you do, you can do it day by day, knowing that you're doing something good and you're doing something right and you're doing something worthwhile, because you're not working for men, you're working for God. And He's called you to that task. And you do it for His glory and for His honor. And you do good works in the name of Christ. And you do them wherever you're called to do them. So what a wonderful gift. Viewed from a godly perspective, from a biblical perspective, work is a good thing. It's God-ordained means to glorify Him, to find joy, to provide. It's a God-ordained means to holiness. It's a God-ordained means to witness to the gospel. Now, the two extremes when it comes to work. You may listen to this list and the sermon and these verses and you say, man, if work's that great, I'm going to put in 90 hours a week. You don't do it at the expense of your family. You don't do it at the expense of serving God. You don't do it at the expense of a number of things. Scripture gives the boundaries. I cannot tell you the exact number of hours a week. There's not a verse I can point to that says exact number of hours a week you should work. And it's going to be different for different folks in different circumstances. There is such a thing as working too much, and we want to avoid that. And try to justify working too much, because work's a good thing. At some point, that becomes an idol. But then the other extreme is what Paul is dealing with here, which is a complete disdain for work. Whether it's laziness or whatever the reason, there was a group at Thessalonica that did not like to work. And that's not okay either. Typically, I would suppose that's going to be the general direction that we're prone to err. Just knowing how we are, knowing our fallen nature, we're prone to laziness. Paul says that's not okay. In fact, he has some very strict words. When you read through this passage, in our passage in 2 Thessalonians, it's very striking. It's almost got a military kind of feel to it. Like Paul is a drill sergeant. The thing that stands out in this 2 Thessalonians 3 passage is the repetition of these verbs. I command, obey. It's like a drill sergeant out on the parade field issuing commands and requiring obedience. It's a very brisk tone. Work is good. Put your hands to it. Listen to the apostolic testimony and look at our example, Paul says. Well, Lord willing, we will get into this passage in one more installment of this series on the nobility of work. But this is the Christ that we serve. He takes what, from a human perspective, looks very mundane, very frustrating, very futile, and he changes our whole perspective. He gives it meaning. He redeems your work. He gives us a new perspective on what we're doing as we spend our days and our fleeting time here on this earth. We're not working for men. We're working for Christ. So know this morning that he can redeem your very purpose in life. He can redeem you. Those who follow after Christ are not working for men. We're working for the Lord himself. And we find joy in that. We find fulfillment in that. Wherever he calls you to labor, that's where we glorify Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good gift of work and all the means to which you give it for us to employ. Lord, we pray that in our work this week we would glorify you, that we would find joy in the fruit, that we would provide and provide well, that we would find a means to holiness, and that we would find a means to witness to the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, our goal is to glorify you, to find joy in you, wherever you call us to work. And we pray this in his name and to his glory. Amen.